It's This Week in Bourbon, where we think there should be a minor league baseball team named the Squibs. And here's your headlines for March 25th, 2022. American whiskey tariffs have finally come to an end. And Sotheby's has broken a new record for American whiskey at auction, fetching a cool $1.63 million. And Michter's Distillery has announced that it will be waiting until 2023 to release its 10-year bourbon. But before we get started, here's a quick word from our partners. It's that time of the year where everybody's starting to make their vacation plans on visiting Kentucky, the mecca of bourbon. And if you are coming to Kentucky, you need to make sure you visit us at Pursuit Spirits in Louisville. We're right in the heart of Clifton, near Butchertown and Nulu, and only just a few miles away from downtown Louisville. But when you do come, you need to book your experience to go do our whole shebang. This is the one that's really the star of the show. You get a full-on tasting. You get to do your own personal barrel selection experience. And you get to grab a whiskey thief and fill your bottle directly from the barrel. We're doing something completely brand new that nobody else is doing here in bourbon country. Plus, you get a free sweet tasting glass at the end of it. I guarantee you, you're going to end up being one of the many people that's also leaving us a five-star review. So make sure you come and check us out. You can book your reservation by going to pursuitspirits.com and clicking the Visit Us button. From their bar to yours, Chad and Sarah of the popular YouTube channel It's Bourbon Night bring you their favorite at-home old-fashioned mix with the new Elemental Elixir's Golden Hour Syrup. It's a custom-made syrup with notes of bold black tea, warm spices, and orange zest. All you need is your favorite whiskey and ice. No bitters needed. One bottle makes 16 drinks, so that's only $1 cocktail before you add your own whiskey. They can also be enjoyed in other cocktails or spirits, mocktails, coffee, tea, and anything you can think of. It's crafted locally in Lexington, Kentucky, and you can get your bottle now at whiskeyambitions.com.
And they're off for another Get270 2020 Unicorn Raffle. Your $20 ticket gives you not one, but two chances to win from our lineup of 20 Woodford Reserve treasures, including the grand prize, the rarest unicorn yet, the Woodford Reserve Kentucky Derby 150 Baccarat Edition. Only 150 bottles were made and is just like the one the Derby winning owner receives. Quit horsing around and get your $20 tickets now at Give270.org. Charitable gaming license ORG 0002703.
Welcome back, everybody. Another great episode of This Week in Bourbon coming at you. Kenny and Ryan here tonight.
Hey, has it already been a week already?
It has since the last time. It has been. But even, what was it? Last week we recorded a little bit early, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because I was out of town. So we have another day or two of news to kind of scatter in through here. So I'm kind of excited to talk about
Some good stuff. We got good topics.
Good topics. Nothing really about the Squibs, though. I just want to put it in there. How can we go an episode without talking about Squibs? I just thought that was a good one.
You always got to have Squib talk.
But there's also been some other kind of hot talk in our Discord recently, and that's about NFTs, because there was a new mint that happened about 2 weeks ago called Party Horses that we had talked about here on This Week in Bourbon, because if you mint one of these Party Horses, you get a limited edition Maker's Mark Party Horses bottle. I got two of them, and I know there's a few people also that picked them up, so I'll be interested to see exactly what my first foray into NFTs gets me, if it gets me anywhere. Who knows?
I can't remember. Explain the party horse thing again.
They're just crazy looking pictures of horses, either, actually like what you would think of, you know, in the infield or dolled up in the paddock area, like just whatever. Like there's just all different kinds of ways.
Do they have a different letter with each one?
There's
like B-L-A-N-T-O-N-S. No, I'm kidding. That was a bad joke.
I get it. No, I get it. They should have probably done a little plan Blanton's
or SQUIBS.
Go Squibs, go! Now I think it's fun, but we'll see what happens with it. I did find out though that they're going to be hosting a derby party this year, and Diplo is going to be headlining the party. So there we go. Diplo coming to Louisville. If you're a party horse, is NFT holder,
one of the OG of house music.
Mm-hmm.
Love Diplo. So,
I got two. You want to be my date for that one?
Is Lauren not going?
I don't know. We haven't discussed that part yet. I don't think I've told her that I bought two of them.
Honey, you're coming.
Yeah.
Get your glow sticks out. Dust them off.
All right. Let's go ahead and let's dive into some bourbon news. So the first one's a little bit of a weird one because we all know that there's scammers out there. I probably get, what do you get? At least 15 calls a day from scammers?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that my warranty's up for renewal, that my new insurance. I mean, you name it, I get them all
right
day.
Now, I'm getting ones for mortgage. It's really weird.
Yeah, rates went up.
They're spoofing Louisville numbers, too.
You should get a higher interest rate.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what they're going to give me, is a higher interest rate. But anyway.
I get like random texts. It's like, somebody really, we have a hot buyer for your house. I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah. Just leave me alone.
I promise you, I'm not going to sell you my house. Could you imagine getting scammed out of your house? How terrible would that be?
There's somebody, it's like those grandmothers getting taken advantage by the, you know, those crazy emails that were like, I'm trapped in this country or whatever, send me some money.
Somewhere in I got a Nigerian prince that wants to send me some money. I just have to wire him a few bucks first.
Right. Yeah.
It must work or people wouldn't be doing it. I mean, there has to be some sort of ROI on it. But there is a new corporate piracy scam that's coming off the people that are calling themselves Diageo Partners LTD. And this is a fake organization that's been passing themselves off as the genuine Diageo in order to scam would-be investors out of money. As reported in The Mirror, the scam begins with emails that claim to be from Martin Lewis's money-saving expert, recommending that the reader invest in Diageo to secure up a 3.5% interest with bonds that, quote-unquote, come with financial services compensation scheme protection. And these messages are sent from the email address at sales@diageopartners.co.uk. However, that has no connection with either the money savings expert or the real Diageo. Even a fake office address was registered for the company, and a video on the Diageo Partners LTD website has an embedded 0208 phone number that is different than the one on its contacts page. Diageo proper has been alerted to the imitation scam, and external lawyers are acting on its behalf and have issued cease and desist notifications to Diageo Partners LTD.
Why don't you just spend all that time and energy and like create a nice business concept, something that doesn't skirt. It's like, you know, there's a lot of effort and stress that goes into like scamming people. It's like, why don't you use that energy to do something positive? But yeah,
there's, like I said, there's gotta be an ROI or people wouldn't do it. So they've got,
oh, I'm sure.
But I think this is kind of a little bit different. I mean, we get text messages and phone calls, but this is a legitimate website with emails and trying to really scam people. So
I know it would seem like, it seemed like somebody that wanted to invest in Diageo would be savvy enough to like not be able, you know, to not bite the bait or take the bait or whatever. So
I guess you could bite a bait. I mean, that's apparently what fish does anyway.
Right.
You're always out there fishing. That's, yeah, I would hope that people don't fall for it, but there's got to be somebody that does. And that's going to be some grandma that's going to be like, oh, 3.5%. That sounds pretty good.
It's better than my CD at the bank. Give me 0.5%. So.
Yeah. My savings account's 0.16%. That doesn't really do me much, so.
It's better than my mattress.
So the Biden administration said on Tuesday this past week that it will roll back the Trump-era tariffs on British steel and aluminum, moving to resolve the transatlantic trade clash that had soured relations with this key ally. Under this agreement, the United States will allow a certain volume of metals from the United Kingdom to be imported duty-free starting June 1st. In return, Britain agreed to lift tariffs on more than $500 million worth. Yeah, $500, that wouldn't be much. $500 million worth.
Great deal.
Of American whiskey, blue jeans, motorcycles, and other products, removing barriers imposed on U.S. exports during the trade spats during the Trump administration. The announcement, which came to the conclusion of 2 days of trade talks between British and American officials, removed some of the last remaining vestiges of the transatlantic trade clashes from the last few years. So American whiskey, taking care of the EU.
And now thrown in there.
In blue jeans? Yeah.
Blue jeans and bourbon.
So American.
Yeah, I wonder what the port situation is like in UK. Like, they may be getting screwed sending aluminum here. It's kind of might not make it in the country for a while.
Yeah, just backed up at the port. And if they want whiskey or blue jeans or motorcycles, it's going to take a little bit to get them over there anyway. So At least they have until June to get that fixed, but nobody's going to set anything till after June anyway, so you're just going to wait for that time bomb to hit.
Yeah, but this is great news. I mean, the thirst for American whiskey, especially bourbon, is, you know, we saw the European tariff go down. Now the British one, this is huge for American whiskey. So it you can see why all these bourbon companies keep building bigger distilleries, more warehouses, cranking more juice, because I think, yeah, we're going to make a big splash across the pond.
And I think, if I recall correctly, you were the one that predicted a lot of this about a year and a half ago and saying all this is going to go away pretty soon.
Yeah, I may have had some insiders that said it was going to all go away, but I won't give my sources. I got in my Rolodex of lawn care customers, but may or may not have some lobbyists and politicians in the Congress, in the House and the Senate.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's, you always know the best people. I'm just hanging out here in the basement trying to write down bourbon news. So good thing that you're out there shaking hands.
Yeah, but you get the squib updates, so that's more
that's
important.
That matters. So Woodford Reserve, who is also the presenting sponsor of the Kentucky Derby, has announced a new partnership with, I'm going to probably, Fourmier. It's with the E with the thing on it.
The French thing.
Yeah, like Fourmier.
Hermes.
Yeah, Hermes, kind of like that. But Fourmier Millinery Company, and they're the featured Milner of the 148th Kentucky Derby, and for this year's Run for the Roses. So it was created by Master Milliner and owner of the Fourmier Milliner, Jenny. I'm just going to keep going forward because I'm just going to keep ruining this up. But anyway,
the hell's a Milliner?
Well, I'm getting ready to tell you.
Okay.
They're announcing the Woodford Reserve Derby Collection, which is a limited edition of series of custom-made men's fedoras and women's derby-brimmed hats sold exclusively at the Woodford Reserve Distillery and at the shop in Louisville, Kentucky. So they designed these hats for some of the world's most fashionable people, including the former First Lady Michelle Obama, Oprah Winfrey, Madonna, and, of course, Neil Diamond.
Did you say McDonough?
McDonough. I almost did. Madonna. And Neil Diamond.
That would
Diamond.
Be a hell of a sandwich.
they should probably work on that one. That's got to be, maybe that's on their secret menu. Who knows? But yeah. These handmade hats incorporate oak from Woodford Reserve barrels. And the men's hats will feature wooden bow ties, while the women's hats will be decorated with red roses made from the bourbon barrels. They're available while supplies last for a cool $675 each, and they will be numbered and co-branded between both companies and presented in a beautiful custom box. Hats sold at the Woodford Reserve Distillery will feature a special bottle of Woodford Reserve, and hats sold at the Forum will come with a Woodford Reserve Derby cocktail mixers, the Mint Julep and the Woodford Spire. Start looking pretty for Derby.
Dang, that's fancy, man.
That is.
Do you wear a fedora? I just wear flat bills. They got a flat bill with like some bourbon
barrels. What, they may be able to do one for you. No, the fedora thing, I don't know. Do you ever watch Workaholics?
Somewhat.
Yeah, there was one good quote in there where all three of them were wearing fedoras. Like, no. It's only one fedora per crew. You can't have more than one fedora. So,
yeah, I was thinking the NSYNC guy, Joey, I think, was wearing the fedora. He was, it makes fedora. Sense. There was one fedora guy. He was it.
Yep. Like, only one fedora guy per crew.
You going to wait in line and get one?
I tell you what, I had to try it on first. I've got a weird thing where I feel like I have a small head. And so if it doesn't fit, then it's just going to swallow me and I'm just going to look ridiculous. So I'm going to have to pass until I can
cover
try it on.
Cover your eyes.
Yeah. Be like one of those people. It's just, yeah, it's just over my eyebrows and kind of like hiding behind it.
You can get a Lauren one, a fascinator or whatever the ladies' hats are called.
Yeah. For the 2.5 hours she'll wear it and go, this is too much. I can't wear this anymore.
It's best $675 you ever spent.
But hey, it comes with a bottle of Woodford. It all
that's
makes sense.
That's
for
true.
It. And the McDonough.
The McDonough, yes.
So we all know that there's a lot of, I guess you could say, weird state laws everywhere. And Ohio has one as well called Keeper of a Place Law. And that's been on the books since 1908. And what this means is that the current law allows alcohol to be sold, but not given away at charitable, benevolent, or political events held in private homes. From Tupperware parties to political fundraisers and other charitable events held in private homes, serving alcohol to guests is illegal under Ohio law. and Representative Kristen Boggs, Democrat from Columbus, he found himself charged with a first-degree misdemeanor because he invited out-of-work musicians to play at his house during the pandemic and then collected donations while alcohol was being served. Attendees brought beer and food that was shared with other guests, Boggs said, and no money was charged to attend or for the beer, but at the end of the night, a donation hat was passed around for the guests to contribute to the musicians. And that's when an undercover police officer stepped forward and charged the host with a keeper of the place violation. The undercover officer discovered Boggs' constituents' event after he posted about it on Facebook. House Majority Floor Leader Representative Bill Seitz, Republican from Green Township, joined Boggs in introducing House Bill 574 to change the current law. And House Bill 574 will permit liquor to be furnished or gifted at these parties, and it'll expand the definition of events to include any not-for-profit social purpose.
That's crazy.
What kind of person's on vendetta to just go?
I actually know a Republican state senator in Ohio very well, and it wouldn't It wouldn't surprise me if he was behind this, just trying to take down a Democrat at all costs. Like,
well, I mean, at the very end, the Democrat and Republican both came together and put the bill together. But I mean, it's just ridiculous that an undercover police officer would go and try to put something that's an old law from 1908 to say, I know you're trying to raise money for musicians and out of work people here, but we're going to have to arrest you for this misdemeanor.
Oh yeah. Politics is brutal, man. There's no shame trying to raise money for unemployed musicians. And they're like, no, we're going to use this law against you. That's funny.
No good deed goes unpunished. That's the lesson there. I know. Well, while we're sticking in the Buckeye State, let's keep going, because an Ohio man was accused of stealing a bottle of bourbon during the assault on the U.S. Capitol building, and he pleaded guilty on Monday to two counts in the case. Robert Anthony Lyon of Columbus appeared before a U.S. District Judge Reggie B. Walton to plead guilty to one count each of theft of government property and disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds. Both are Class A misdemeanors that carry a maximum sentence of 1 year in prison, but prosecutors said in plea paperwork he will face likely a recommendation of around sentence of 0 to 6 months behind bars. Lyon and his friend and co-defendant Dustin Thompson were approached by U.S. Capitol Police around 6 p.m., while sitting at an intersection on the south side of the National Mall. The men told police they were waiting for a rideshare car, but when they went to leave, Thompson picked up a coat rack, which the officers noticed appeared to have been taken from the Capitol. The officers then attempted to stop the men, at which point Thompson allegedly fled on foot. Lyon, who did not run, gave the officers his driver's license and Thompson's name, and also allowed him to search his bag. Inside, they found marijuana and a bottle of bourbon. Lyon initially told police that he hadn't entered the Capitol, but officers found a text message on his phone to Thompson reading, "We need to get the fuck out with this trophy," officers said. And Lyon became visibly nervous when they asked about the text and again denied being in the Capitol. Investigators eventually located surveillance footage featuring Lyon and Thompson entering the rooms inside the Capitol and exiting with the coat rack and the bourbon bottle. Both men were indicted in February on multiple counts, including theft of government property and a felony count of obstruction of an official proceeding.
It sounds like the gummy hit hard while they were walking around D.C. I mean, how after the insurrection or whatever, you know, the Capitol storm, how could people break into the Capitol and get a coat rack these days?
Well, I mean, no, that was from there. I mean, they were taking coat racks and bottles of bourbon. I mean, it's just one of the many that I think
it was from that day.
Yeah, it was from that day.
Oh, I thought you were saying this was recently. Okay, I'm sorry.
No. It was from that day. That's what it was from.
And oh, okay. I thought you meant like this February, not last February.
I'm pretty sure that's what it's from, because these things never.
That makes more sense.
These things don't go fast. And as you've probably seen over the news in probably the past 6 months, they're slowly charging people that they're caught on camera, catching on camera that were there and entered the building and stuff like that. So I don't know if we're going to see anybody else. They didn't say what kind of bourbon. That would have been nice to know. Or who they stole it from.
Probably from John Yarmouth's desk.
Maybe.
Or Mitch McConnell.
Well, I mean,
it'd be cool to have one of their bottles. Dan Crenshaw, though, likes bourbon, too. I'm interested.
I mean, when I worked at an office, I always had a bourbon in my desk drawer. And I actually had an old granddad bottle and bond. That was my office bourbon, because I didn't care.
You loved your job.
Well, I didn't care if any, I don't care about any drinking.
No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, it's something for Thursday, Friday afternoons, kind of just hanging out.
And do you have a new work shirt in your drawer too?
Just in case. Get sloppy.
Yeah.
No, didn't have that. But it was always one of those things that you always want to have a bottle of bourbon at the office, but you don't want to have a good one because you don't want people to take it.
Yeah, you don't want to share it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to share it, but you don't, because I wasn't there all the time. And I didn't care if people took it, but you don't want to leave something good there because all of a sudden it's going to be cash before you know it.
Very good point, Kenny. Mm-hmm.
Well, now that I work from home, the days of having my office bourbon are just within an arm's reach.
Well, when we get an office together, I know not to get the good stuff because you're not.
Yeah, you're right. It's just going to be old granddad bottled them, but I might step it up for 114 for you. I don't know.
That's pretty good. I like old granddad 114. So,
yeah.
I wouldn't be too mad.
Have to make sure.
Probably a ton of United in there.
We can't get rid of it. There's so much. Yeah. All right. So keeping going here. Now, we talked about Ohio. Let's go on to their arch rival in Michigan. So Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has made it very clear in recent years that cracking down on illegal direct-to-consumer shipments on beverage alcohol into this. It's shortened to Bev Alk, and I'm trying to like say it, but to beverage alcohol into the state is a priority, filing a slew of lawsuits as a result of investigations into these shipments. To date, the efforts have secured more than $100,000 in fines against illegal alcohol shippers, and currently there are 17 other lawsuits filed with more on the way, and this is according to the Michigan Liquor Control Commission. These lawsuits all follow a very similar story. So the Michigan Liquor Control Commission reviews common carrier reports, finding that the defendants have shipped beverage alcohol directly to state residents without proper permits. The attorney general then sends them a cease and desist letter. To ensure compliance, the Michigan Liquor Control Commission, they place an order. If that order is fulfilled, still lacking permission and permitting, then legal action is taken. So the attorney general filed for a preliminary and permanent injunctions under the 21st Amendment Enforcement Act and the Michigan Consumer Protection Act, seeking up to $25,000 for each violation.
Boy, it's something better to do. It's like,
hey, they're taking care of all the potholes in the road with doing this, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. It's seems love, like a waste of tax their, dollars money, but
I,
whatever.
I love their method.
Taxpayer
their,
money.
Figuring this out. They go, okay, well, here's an infraction. Well, just to make sure, we're going to go place a spoof order on their website. If it gets delivered, we're going to go fine them. It's like you're just, is that entrapment? Is it entrapment? I don't know.
It's like, take the bait.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly what it is. It's unfortunate for Michigan residents. So if you want to see that changed, we're going to have a new podcast will be coming out probably in a few weeks where we talk about shipping and compliance. And there is one major theme to the end of it that says only you can get the laws changed by complaining to your local representative. So do it.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Need a new attorney general in Michigan.
Yes. One that likes.
Sorry. You're spirits. Probably a nice person, attorney general in Michigan, but give this up.
Yeah. We just need somebody that likes bourbon. And likes to get bourbon shipped. But tell you what it needs is that whoever the next attorney general is,
we'll take your mead from Michigan and we'll just take our bourbon.
Well, they just need to find something that they like that they can't get in Michigan. And then they'll be like, I get it. Now I get it. So as soon as that happens, then maybe the tides will turn.
We'll take the Traverse City cherries. We like those. Those Ooh, are good.
Those are good.
Yeah. Those I like the good. Traverse City stuff. So.
So back to more NFTs, and that's that Buffalo Trace, we talked about this before, that they were going to sell their old-fashioned copper vintage bourbons on the blockbar.eth, and it was the first ever auction for an NFT. However, these went to raising a charity, and they raised a total of $280,000. One bottle in the collection fetched what is said to be a record of $60,000. So the 6-liter OFC Vintage Bourbon Whiskey is distilled in 1982, and their accompanying NFTs were sold on Blockbar, which is a digital marketplace for wines and spirits. The sale was part of the distillery's mission to raise over $2 million for charity by donating 2,022 bottles of whiskey to fundraising causes. Now, I do remember we talked about this, and I think we tried to figure out what was it actually going to go for on a few episodes ago, but I can't remember what we came up with.
Gosh, I Hell, I have no idea.
I can't remember.
So it went for 200
the magic number.
So you said it went for 200?
So all five of them together raised 280,000, but there was one that went for 60,000.
Good grief. That's
but it is 6 liters. I mean, it's a 6 liter bottle.
Yep. That's,
I mean,
it's totally worth it.
Like, it's a big bottle. It's a lot.
It's a massive bottle.
It's a lot of dusty drops bourbon. That. But yeah, well, I should have done a little research and listened back to figure out exactly what our prediction was. But I don't think it was that high. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, gosh, that's $60,000. A lot of money but that's awesome for charity. Good for. Hope it tastes good. I'm sure it does.
Well, we'll get to more high dollar bottles here in a minute, and they're not even 6 liters, but. That's after we talk about this real quick. And that's for everybody that's in the trade. If you're a distiller, or if you are a blender, or if you own a distillery, whatever it is, if you have ideas about the process of distilling and want to run some experiments, the ADI Distilling Research Grant is now looking for proposals to fund. They have $25,000 to fund research this year and have donated over $31,000 so far. So if you aren't an academic or don't have an academic research background, they can also pair you up with distilling scientists to help you write and concise your proposals. You can email erico@distilling.com to find out more, but applications are open now until April 29th.
I got a $6 million research project they can work on.
Yeah. How to raise money to put down new fill barrels at 4 different distilleries to eventually
take it through the whole process. Sourcing, aging.
Yeah, I think this is mostly like for people that have crazy ideas on fermentation or want to do something different.
Like
or they
crazy
want
mash
to,
bills or something.
It's not even necessarily crazy mash bills, but it's like analyzing, I don't know, the bubbles that come off of a fermentation and looking for certain enzymes and figuring out if that traces back to somebody. I don't really know. I mean, you could think of some crazy ideas, but that's what it's there for. So if you got a crazy idea, you can go ahead and do that. I know that we have talked about it before and some of the ones that have been accepted into the grant, but if you're smart and you're like distilling and science, here's your opportunity to kind of have a research grant to make it all happen. A couple thousand dollars to go and play around and make it happen. All right. So back to big bottle sales here. So auctioneer Sotheby's, they held the world's most valuable sale of American whiskey on the secondary market, and it fetched $1.63 million, and that breaks the record for the most valuable auction of American whiskeys ever held. The auction featured two of the most significant collections to come to market in a single sale. The auction was headlined by the American Muscle Collection, which is a series of bourbons and rye whiskeys, including bottlings from Willett Family Estate. Another notable collection on offer is the Three Continents Collection Part 3. These whiskeys were once part of a collection of bourbons and ryes from the U.S. that were allocated from across 5 Sotheby's auctions in 2021 and 2022. With almost 100% of the lots sold and 75% of them selling above their pre-sale high estimates, the top spot for the most expensive lot in the auction went to a bottle of Linnell's Red Hook Rye 24-year-old barrel number 4. And that sold for $43,750. And that was double its pre-sale high estimate, making it the joint most valuable bottle of rye whiskey ever sold at auction. There was another lot, a double vertical of Pappy Van Winkle from 2020 and 2021 releases, comprising 12 bottles in total, and that fetched $43,750. Other notable lots included a bottle of Michter's 20-year-old selling for $27,500, almost 7 times the lot's pre-sale low estimate, and a 6-bottle case of Willett Family Estate Single Barrel Bourbon's 10-year-old, which fetched around $17,500, which is 15 times the pre-sale low estimate. Sotheby's said that the sale was dominated by domestic bidders, with 93% of lots acquired by collectors based in North America. Of those, nearly 60% were new to Sotheby's, 77% were aged in their 40s or younger, and 42% were in their 30s or younger.
Dang, new money getting after it, huh?
I know. Tell you what,
those are some crazy amount. It's interesting that the Michter's, I think you said 20, or is it 25?
It was a Michter's 20 year, 27,500 for that. That seems odd, right? It must be an old vintage or something.
Yeah, it's got to be a Stitzel. And then, but what's incredible is that one bottle almost was half of what 12 Van Winkle's went for.
It was the same exact price, $43,750. You either got one bottle of Linnell's Red Hook Rye, or you got two verticals of Van Winkle.
That's incredible. I wonder how many of those Red Hook Ryes were released. Do you know?
It said it somewhere in a thing out of like four barrels as a total of, I don't know, 600 bottles, 700 bottles in total. So I don't think it was a ton, but that gives you an idea of kind of how crazy this is all got.
You ever had one?
So I'm trying to think. I think I have had Linnell's Red Hook Rye, but if I had, it was a vapor pour. There was a lot of bottles there that night, but it was a vapor pour. It was very, very small. However, I do remember, and it kicked myself every single time, is that somebody had actually reached out to me probably about 3 or 4 years ago, and they said, hey, I have a bottle of Red Hook that I want to sell. Would you be interested in it? And I was like, of course, like, let's do it. And we tried to find a good price because they wanted top dollar at the time. I wasn't going to pay top dollar at the time. Looking back, I should have paid top dollar. But I think he was trying to sell it to me for like $10,000 or something like that. And of course, me being me, I was like, I don't want $10,000 a bottle. Like, oh, dear Lord.
You being anyone, that's...
I know. So, I was about, he lives in New York. I was getting ready to, I was like, I'll fly. He was like, don't ship that thing. I will fly to New York, pick it up, like personally get it and figure out how to get it back. So, unfortunately.
Sold it for 45 grand or whatever.
I know. A few years later, could have doubled, tripled my money. But, you know, that's hindsight's 2020. We all have these things where you had eyes on a bottle of bourbon. You're like, nah, it's okay. And then. Fast forward a year or two, and you're like, well, yeah. Never mind. I guess I should have been collecting Blanton's the entire time.
Cured Oak's mine. I could have bought a bunch at $400 and was like, that's just too expensive. And I'm
just like
an idiot.
Dusties. I remember going on forums and seeing Dusties and thinking, who would spend $80 on a bottle when it says $7.99 on the label? That's ridiculous. And it only took me a few years later to realize, no, I'm the one that's ridiculous. I should have been.
No, I'm the Dumbo, as Gaffigan says.
Yeah. Look in the mirror. Who's the Dumbo now?
Yep.
So this is not really a news story, but I thought it was pretty interesting. So Michael Veach, he's a historian for bourbon. You can go Google him. He's got some books and stuff like out there. And he put an article out that said, he was kind of a plea to try to figure out, well, what can we do now that the laws are starting to change in Kentucky? Because this is a question that we get, I know, on a weekly basis, and I'm sure that anybody in Kentucky gets. And that is, when out-of-state visitors come, the one question they ask is, what can I purchase here in Kentucky that I cannot find at home? And I'm sure that we all, at least Ryan and I, kind of have this down to a T now that says, well, that's not the goal of the bourbon companies.
Nothing.
Well, A, it's nothing anymore, unless it's like, what, Heaven Hill used to be white label or green label.
Well, Bardstown, Bald and Bond, and yeah, I don't know what else anymore. Green label, exactly. Maybe, Heaven Hill.
Yeah, there's not much. But I always said, that's not the goal of what these distilleries want to do. Their goal is to get their product out as far and as wide as possible. They don't want to just have something that's here. But he had a good idea. And he goes, I propose an answer to this question that every distillery do a single barrel, 6-year-old, bottled and bond, bourbon or rye whiskey that they only sell in their gift shop or those that have gone on their distillery tour. This would be a unique bottle that would only be found in Kentucky, and it would give the bourbon tourist the bottle or bottles that they want to remember their trip to the distillery. It would not cost the distilleries that much of an investment, maybe just a new label approval, and that label could be a Kentucky Bourbon Trail label with the name of the distillery for each distillery. In fact, he says, I could also see tourists making a collection of all the official bonded whiskeys on the trail. It would also be a reason to come back to their favorite distilleries every year, since bonded whiskeys all come in the same year and same season, so every season may yield a slightly different result.
I like that idea. I like that, Veach. Good job, buddy.
I think the only thing I could probably poke a hole at in there is that he said do a single barrel. That wouldn't last very long, so might as well just
dump. That's only a couple hundred bottles. So.
Yeah, so dump, 80 barrels, and hopefully you have enough to make it through the rush or whatever it is for the season. But I mean, I guess depending on how big your distillery is, if you're a craft distiller, you're probably not dumping 80 barrels, but you might do 3 or 4 or 5. But on the larger scale for your Heaven Hills and your Jim Beams, of course you could do something like that. But this is
a novel idea. Trying to fill out their bourbon passport with the bottles, That's, yeah, I like that idea.
See, it's something. And plus, it gets people to come back because
we can be part of it. Or yeah. No, we can't. We have three different distillers.
Well, we couldn't be a part of it. If we did, we'd have to wait a few years until we have some extra stock of Kentucky stuff just sitting around. And it wouldn't be United. It would just be Kenny and Ryan's bottled and bond whiskey.
That's right.
I mean, we'll put our marketing hats on and think of a better name. But the other thing that he also said in there that I kind of remember now is saying that you could put like one of those faux tax stamps or tax strips on it, and it has the dates as of the distilling season. And so that way it might be able to be something that is visually representative when you went there and everything like that. So the next time you go back, there'll be one with an incremental year on it.
I'm down. I like it. Hopefully some people get on board with this.
I know. Well,
but probably not.
Probably not. You wish in one hand and crap in the other and see which gets filled up first.
That's right.
All right. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with some bourbon release news. If you're anything like me, then you can't get enough about bourbon. And that's why I'm a subscriber to Bourbon Plus magazine. Bourbon Plus is a quarterly publication that tells the stories from the heart of bourbon, the farmers who grow the grain, the distillers who labor over the process, and the people, like you and me, who raise their glasses to celebrate it all. Subscribe to Bourbon Plus magazine today at bourbonplus.com, that's PLUS.com, and use code PURSUIT at checkout for $5 off your subscription. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. And you can get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bourbon, all lowercase, and go to shopify.com/bourbon to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/bourbon. Welcome back, everybody. It's time for some bourbon release news. Not a whole lot to go through, but there are a few things that you might want to know about. And I mean, we're always trying to figure out what's the new and hot thing. I will say that, just to give a shout out real quick, I had the opportunity to sit in with some folks from Heaven Hill today, and they were going over their new 17-year release, not the old Fitzgerald, but the new one that this kind of be their kind of new flagship offering. And they got a lot of cool things on their radar, and I'm excited to be a part of something that they're building where they're going to be providing samples and be able to allow people like Ryan and I to taste these as the years go and figure out exactly what are they going to release down the road. So
do they want our opinions or no?
Well, they said so. I mean, it's actually pretty cool. They even said they will have an online portal where you get to go and enter in your tasting notes and you can go and review them. And so if that same barrel sample comes back another year or 2 years later, you can go and revisit it and figure out exactly, has it changed? What's it going to be? Is it ready yet? Does it need to still age? So they're kind of starting to crowdsource their limited edition and heritage releases. So I think it's a pretty novel idea.
Very smart. I like it.
Yes. I'm sure we'll be able to talk about that more when they cut a press release for it, but there's your sort of first inside look at it. But here's another one that came from a press release, and it's unfortunate, but these things happen, and that's Michter's Distillery will say that they're going to be waiting until 2023 to release its 10-year bourbon. So the plan is to keep the barrels that were originally slated to be bottled this year to age 1 year further. Michter's Master of Maturation, Andrea Wilson, stated that bourbon enthusiasts often tell us how much they love our 10-year bourbon for its depth and complexity. And while we know our Michter supporters will be disappointed, just know that we are continuing to stay true to our philosophies of who we are as a company and as a brand by always delivering extraordinary whiskey to those who are willing to wait.
So it's going to be an 11-year
next year?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, those things. It's, as long as it's the youngest one in the bunch, who knows? Maybe they'll double up for next year, and they'll have the 10 and 11 and just dump it all into one. But you know what, they have their label
already. Is that just
created
for the bourbon or the rye too?
It is just for the bourbon. I believe the rye is coming out, and I believe we might have talked about it.
I love their 10-year rye. I like the bourbon too. It's always fantastic, but I love the rye especially.
Yep. And it's I love seeing this, but you always got to look at the people that are the big turkey advocates out there, and you see a press release that Michter's 10 years not coming out. What's going to happen to it? And they've all the people talking about it. And then everybody on the turkey side's like, well, if there's Russell's Reserve 10 year, it's here on the shelf. You can get it all right. day, every day for $50. So
that's very true.
That's true.
And what Russell's is
110 proof?
110 versus
93. 94. Yeah, it's double digits. Very precise, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. But to be fair, turkey's been in the game a lot longer. So
they've been in the game a lot longer. And there was a lot of good Michter's 10 years in the 2014 and prior years that, whew, those are stellar bourbons right there.
Totally.
Yeah. Won't go into that because unless you got a DeLorean, there's really no point in talking about it. So Old Dominic and Overton Park Conservatory are celebrating a newly renamed Overton Park 9 with a 7-year-old barrel wheat whiskey. Sorry, single barrel wheat whiskey. So Old Dominic bottled 4 individual barrels of straight wheat whiskey aged 7 years in a West Tennessee white oak barrel. And this was in celebration of a major renovation of the park's historic 9-hole golf course. The commemorative bottle of Hewling Station single barrel straight wheat whiskey celebrates the 2021 renovation of the Overton Park golf course, spearheaded by King Collins Golf Course Design, whose flagship project is Sweetens Cove Golf Club, located just outside of Chattanooga. Only 4 individual wheat whiskey barrels, which is a mash bill of 83% wheat, 12% corn, and 5% malted barley, they were all bottled at cask strength and have a resulting range of proofs of 116 up to 119. The limited release, which features a custom ball marker on the cork, will be available in the Memphis area liquor stores beginning on Monday, April 4th, with a suggested retail price of $76. And a portion of the proceeds from this release will be donated to the Overton Park 9 to support the park's efforts in keeping the public golf courses accessible, affordable, and welcoming to all.
That's cool. I like that. I like that idea. I'd like to go to Sweetens Cove. That's a trip I want to do because I love Chattanooga. But I'd love to get back to Memphis. I miss Memphis. And
yeah.
I loved Old Dominic. That distiller is a beautiful place. And yeah, it's a cool project. So, and we like weeded whiskey. So it's all home runs.
And golf. I mean, I'll drink some bourbon and
we suck, but
yeah. I mean,
I can use a ball marker on the bottle though.
Yeah, there you go. Do that. I just have to count for my slice. So if I know I'm just going to take it to the right, all I do is just aim just a little
aim way left.
Yeah, just aim to the left. I'll take a few yards off my shot, but that's okay. It's funny. I do that. And when I do it, that's the time I hit it straight and it just goes way off in the
straight
road.
Left.
Yeah. Hook it hard.
Maybe I was like trying to see how you could compensate. Never mind. Just
I can't
go by the Old Dominic.
Yeah. You can't compensate for bad swing. That's what it comes down to.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Maybe the whiskey will help. Who knows? So at the end of 2020, Barton 1792 Distillery. I know I'm tripping up all over.
I'm so stories. Glad you read these. Not me.
I'm just like, blah, blah, Barton, blah, blah. Well, they defined a new category of what they called extended cask finished bourbon whiskey through the introduction of the distillery's first ultra premium brand named Thomas S. Moore. This line of bourbons intended to honor Thomas S. Moore, who was an innovative bourbon pioneer who built the distillery known today as Barton 1792. The tall, sophisticated bottles feature imagery that pays homage to the legacy of Thomas S. Moore. And each label displays the image of a racehorse standing tall, honoring one of Moore's earliest whiskey brands, Belle of Nelson, named for the thoroughbred who won the Kentucky Oaks in 1878. The collection provided a new insight into the significance of additional finishing imparts on the whiskey, elevating the flavors and aromas. Now, Barton 1792 is releasing its second collection of extended cask-finished bourbon whiskeys in the Thomas S. Moore line. This release is made up of 4 different expressions, including a cognac, Madeira, sherry, and Merlot-finished bourbon whiskeys. And to create these whiskeys, They had their signature high rye recipe that was aged for 5 to 6 years in new charred oak barrels before filling the other casks that were previously maturing other various wines or spirits from around the world. These whiskeys are then left at age for an additional 1 to 4 years. The cognac barrels that Kahn used, Danny Kahn, who we talked about before, they held cognac for 6 or 8 more years previously. The Merlot barrels came from premium wineries from Napa and Sonoma areas. The sherry barrels were all Oloroso sherry, and a variety of different types of Madeira barrels were used. Danny Kahn, who personally tasted every single barrel that went into this release at least once, he created a few sub-blends for each expression. From there, the sub-blends were then sorted based on categories of flavors from which the final blends were chosen. The 4 resulting expressions are a beautiful demonstration of the art of blending. So the Madeira casks are aged approximately 2 to 4 years and is 96.5 proof. The Merlot casks are approximately 2 to 4 years and is 93.3. Sherry is 1 to 4 at 98.7, and the cognac is approximately 2 to 4 years and is 93.4 proof. They all have a suggested retail price of $70.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to try these, and my gosh, they were really good. Like, typically with, finished bourbons, you kind of get like an almost overpowering, whatever spirit that was in there before. These were just nice and subtly there. Danny Kahn did a great job of, as I said, blending these all together. It was really good, and I'm excited for these to, and the price point's really that's a good deal.
Yeah, for what, 7 years, 6 to 7 years that was just in bourbon, and then aged another 1 to 4 years. So on the high side, you have some 10-year stuff. On the low side, you've got some 7 to 8 year stuff. So no, it's pretty interesting. And we had the opportunity, we actually recorded an episode with Danny Kahn that will be released on April 21st. So mark your calendars for that one, where we go deep and diving into yeast, because I don't know, we spent 20 minutes just talking about yeast for some reason. And then we started diving into talking about Thomas S. Moore and what it takes to actually create this collection. And yeah, he brought all the bottles there. And I remember The cognac was, of course, one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Was cognac. But I also liked the, if I remember correctly, the sherry one as well.
Yeah, and even the Madeira. Usually with Madeira, it's like kind of dry and bitter. It was like really balanced. It was good stuff.
It is. So congratulations.
Danny, save us a bottle.
Yeah. Well, I was waiting for this press release to come out, because I almost queued it up and I almost put a picture of these out there a few weeks ago because I was diving into them. And then I was like, wait a minute, I don't think this has been released yet. I think I should probably hold back. And so I sent a message to their PR people. I was like, has this been talked about yet? And they said, no, thank you for not posting. So saved us from
beginning.
So yeah, saved us from our first cease and desist from Sazerac there. So,
oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want one of those. Our lawyers aren't big enough. We'd have to beg and plead Brian from Sipping Court.
I was like, Brian, please fight this. Brian, where are you?
Tell them we're sorry. Tell them we're sorry. So we talked about NFTs. We've talked about other things in the digital space. This one isn't even about bourbon, but as our last story, and I try to find the craziest ones to talk about. And this is because Netherlands-based Heineken, they launched their first brand new virtual beer called Heineken Silver. So the Heineken virtual beer launched exclusively in its virtual brewery within the immersive digital platform Decentraland. Heineken has always been passionate about natural ingredients, but in the metaverse, it's all about the finest 100% computer-generated ingredients. So Heineken's special A yeast, usually brewed in horizontal tanks, has been replaced with A pixels, it says. The virtual Heineken Silver is brewed with a binary-coded hops grown by non-player character farmers, and the whole virtual brewing process is overseen by Heineken's dedicated virtual brewing assistants that are digitized stand-ins for its star brewers. These elements come together to develop a completely unique beer that visitors to the Heineken's virtual brewery in Decentraland will be able to see in the virtual world. The virtual beer was unveiled at a product launch event in Heineken's virtual brewery, where guests were able to learn about how the beer is made in seconds while enjoying pixelated lobster and caviar and rubbing shoulders with Heineken ambassadors.
Oh my gosh.
Is the world getting too weird for you?
This is what I'm scared of with NFTs and all this. It's like, oh man.
Yeah. I mean,
this is like worst case scenario, but whatever.
worst case scenario. I read this and I said, oh gosh. Like, There's no way. There's no way that this is going to be sustainable. I just don't see this. I watch Ready Player One. It's an amazing movie. I just don't see that happening and people living in this virtual space. And just to go and launch a virtual beer,
I don't know, man. People already do it with social media. They're like, I'd rather watch this reality of someone else being at this place than enjoy my reality right now. And it's already happening and I can see people. I don't know. I just hope they don't buy virtual beers. Sorry, Heineken, whatever. If you want to sponsor the show, we love you, but I can't get behind this.
It's, I don't know, virtual beers, virtual something. I don't know. It definitely takes it to another extreme where I can't wrap my, you gotta.
I know that movie is out. I can't bring myself to watch it because I'm just so scared to watch it.
Like, I mean, it's a great movie.
It'll mess with my mind.
But for the most part, I just enjoying pixelated lobster and caviar. Get out of here. I mean,
right. I mean, what's somebody like, splurge tonight on this?
You don't even know how to like respond to this.
I don't even like, how do you just like, I don't know. You put your glasses on and I'll shut up.
There's going to be somebody out there that listens to this show go, oh, I was there. It was just fantastic. I got one in my NFT wallet now. I shouldn't talk. I bought an NFT this past week, so I'm part of the problem.
Well, I think the NFTs that like certificate something like a membership or a bottle, this or that, but this is like virtual world. Like I can't get behind it, but maybe I'm just old curmudgeon now at 36 years old, but
well, the good thing is we got a few more years until our kids are trying to get us to join the virtual world. We can keep playing in this physical world of dealing with glass shortages and everything else that gives us real world headaches instead of having to deal with virtual headaches.
I know. Do we just put our glasses on and then the glass shows up? No pun intended. Like, oh, it's here. Oh, it's so weird. Much better.
It was made in seconds. It was
and
digitized.
My silver Heineken. I can get drunk without drinking and have caviar. Well,
I mean, I don't know. It's tough to look at it even from like a tech perspective, because you look at what happened with things like Pokemon Go, which is an augmented reality where people go and they walk around and collect stuff, and it's still huge. People still play it. And this is just maybe the next phase, but whatever. I mean, I guess we shouldn't knock it until we need to come out with the United Digitized version. We'll have to figure out what we're going to call it, but
never.
United Never? Is that what you want to call it?
No, I'm just never doing
yeah,
that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It just exists in an idea and maybe on this episode.
Right. It dies right now.
Until somebody goes and steals it and they put it in the metaverse and then we have to buy it back from them. They're just going to squat on it.
Oh, man. I need to go, like, journal and think about this stuff.
All right. Well, you go journal. Everybody else, enjoy your weekend or your drive or your ride home. Whatever it is that you're doing right now, listening to this. Cheers. Thank you for sticking with us, and we'll see you next week.
Toodles.